I'm Augusta Sophie Louise Cohen. I'm from New Zealand and I'm 22 years old.
I'm Adobe Okora Fumosu. I'm from Nigeria and I'm 24 years old.
I'm Yomna Mustafa. I come from Egypt and I'm 20 years old.
Okay, my name is Adobe Rose Lenadubinkwe. I'm a Nigerian and I'm 24 years old.
Un tatouage sur la peau, des cicatrices sur son dos, un passé bien à elle, la demoiselle.
Lovely to talk to you today. We're here at the Lab Citoyen. You've all been selected from different parts of the world to come and take part in this year's edition, which is devoted to the subject of education and human rights. And you all have somehow or other learned French, even though you're not from Francophone countries. Can you just tell me in a nutshell how you came and why you wanted to learn French? Perhaps you first, Augusta?
Sure. So I had a family friend that spoke a multitude of languages when I was growing up, and one of them was French. She always had people to stay at her house and could speak to them in their own language, and that was something I admired a lot, as well as loving the French culture and the food especially. So that's why I started learning French.
And do you find it useful?
Not many people speak French in New Zealand, actually, but now that I'm here and I like talking to people a lot from French-speaking countries, so yeah, it is useful in that sense.
Adobe?
I believe that right now it is more important for us to be able to speak multiple languages because we're in a time that encourages collaboration. Like the 17th Sustainable Development Goals calls for collaborations internationally, and language can be a barrier. So right now I'm all for learning the language because it will help me reach out to more people, like events like this.
Actually, languages in general are seen as obstacles, like barriers between people.
Yomna.
And what we should do in general is to break down these barriers. It brings people together to be able to share their thoughts, their experiences in different languages. And there is a kind of something special in each language that we should discover, actually.
You think there was something special about French?
It lets you think in a different way. It combines the feelings and the intellectual part of each one. That's for me, that's how I feel about French accent.
And Roslyn, you're from Nigeria too.
I'm a master student studying French language in university in Nigeria. I see the importance of learning French particularly to me because even Nigeria is surrounded by Francophone countries. And I also feel it promotes global citizenship. Like when I go out there, it makes me connect to people more easily, so to say. My thinking is kind of widened because I'm not just limited to the English context alone, so to say. I'm also kind of exposed to, okay, the French culture, civilization. There's this critical thinking skills that I have much more than someone who understands just one language.
So this week, the Lab Citoyen, organized by the Institut Français, how did you get chosen? I mean, what's your background? Are you involved in human rights projects in your home countries, Augusta?
I've been quite involved in education causes both in New Zealand and overseas. In New Zealand, I run an education program for the schools, the poorest areas in Auckland, which is the city I live in, around their legal rights. And overseas, it was actually out of a conference similar to Lab Citoyen in high school that I started a charity which focuses on girls' education in Malawi. So for me, education is something I'm really passionate about. Because I think it's really sort of the access point to other rights.
Adobe?
I have like my own organization. It's called Yellow Heart. So what we do, there's the education of the 21st century. I'd like to call it education outside the classroom. I believe that there is more to education because of our time that transcends English, math, and all that. There should be things like the importance of learning more languages. I feel education and human rights are one and the same because only an educated person can understand the rights. If you're not educated, your rights are of no use to you. And the other part is using technology to advance education. It feels like every other aspect is advancing quickly with technology. Health has gone to a whole new level. Collaboration, you could work from distances these days. But the way I'm being taught now, or I was taught now, is the same way my parents were taught.
Yomna, what was your project that got you selected to come on the Lab Citoyen?
Actually, my story was social engagement. In 2011, after the Egyptian revolution, actually, it's like we had our eyes open on many problems that we had no idea about. I was so young back then. I was a typical teenager, and I think in 2 years I started joining projects that have as idea to promote education for youth and to open their eyes actually on political problems, economical problems and human rights problems, because the human rights situation is still not so good in Egypt. And the problem that we the youth think is the main problem is that people do not know their rights. As my colleague just said, if you don't know your rights, you can't ask for your rights. And the educational system in Egypt is so, somehow it's led so everyone thinks the same way, everyone acts the same way, and students do not have the opportunity to express themselves, to express their thoughts, to share something they believe in, actually. So in my city, Alexandria, a lot of youth are actually so conscious about this problem, and I take part of a youth initiative.
Does the project have a name?
This project, for example, is the model of European Union. We do also a model of Security Council. It's not paid, actually. We do it for free. And we pay, actually, for the projects, but because we do not take any funds from any organization, because we think that if someone pays, he would like to control. And we do not like to be controlled. Our content is not controlled. We just work on it ourselves.
Roslyn, what project brought you here?
For me, I volunteer for certain organizations concerning girl child education, but for me, I also have my personal initiative, and I have quite a personal story to this. Okay, I was deprived of some leadership roles when I was growing up, so that kind of opened my eyes to what women face in our society. So what I do is I go to secondary schools, I talk to girls about harnessing their potentials when it comes to leadership. You don't have to believe that, okay, leadership roles are meant for males in the society. You could take them up and like that. So I had a personal story, but I was able to overcome. So trying to talk to girls that, yes, you could do it, don't wait. Then I also have another initiative called UNFRED, French for Humanitarian Service and Diplomacy. So the essence of this is, okay, beyond learning the French language, now using it maybe when you go to Francophone countries, maybe in terms of community engagement and everything. So I partner with Alliance Française in Nigeria. That was in Ilorin, Nigeria. So they sponsored some of my students to write the exams and everything.
So, Lab Citoyen here in Paris, visiting lots of different initiatives that are showcasing education and human rights. Tell me, the one thing that you will be taking away with you back to your home countries that you've seen or heard about, Adobe.
Okay, it's really outside what I'm here for, because mine is education and technology and also innovation, but what I actually found fascinating was sports and education. I actually really didn't think that, you know, people could be educated through sports until we went to Le Tremplin.
Yeah, the trampoline.
The trampoline, yes. And we had people from Play International there, and I was blown away by how they're using sports to, you know, promote education, which I wasn't aware of. And, you know, it brought up new ideas, and I started thinking about things like the World Cup, right? So in my country, there are like a lot of groups, different ethnic groups, but when Nigeria is playing, everyone is sitting in one bar shouting Super Eagles, and you know they are buying each other beers regardless of the fact that, you know, I'm Igbo, you're Yoruba, and you're Hausa. Once it comes to anything that is sports for us is mostly soccer, and you don't have a TV. You go to your neighbor's place who is Hausa, and you know he opens his door for you so you can watch the World Cup. After the World Cup, you know where whoever you are, you know, he opened my eyes to the possibility and the amazing things you could do with sports. Kids play a lot, right? It's part of who they are. So if you can channel that energy, if you find a way to teach them through something that they do unconsciously, you know, you could get their attention more and learn to teach them in ways that they can understand.
Augusta, what are you taking away from this week?
It's really hard to choose just one thing. But for me, I really enjoyed when we were talking about innovation in education. A lot of the time, our systems are very kind of traditional. We have that Socratic method where you're sitting down at a table, you're using pen and paper, the teacher talks, you don't have a lot of participation from students. And during the afternoon that we looked at innovation in education, we saw the ways that technology could come in and influence the ways that we're learning, but also using kind of creativity to learn as well. So one of the stories that was mentioned was about students learning something, creating something to show what they've learned, and then sharing it with others. And it was through a blog post that they did at the end of each week to share what they'd learnt. And I think, especially in a time where technology is unavoidable, we can't continue teaching in the traditional way.
Do you find that in New Zealand, the traditional way is the prevalent way?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I study law at university, and I don't think there could be anything more traditional than doing law. And you sit there and you have your textbooks, and you've got old lecturers who teach in the traditional way, and it's great. I love my education, but I think there's, you know, alternatives out there, and we discussed many great ideas that day. So I think it's a lot I can bring back, hopefully, with me to share in New Zealand.
Yomna?
I think I would also choose innovation, because I think the main problem in my country is that people are not that conscious about their rights. And I think it would all start with education. If they know their rights, if they know they have things to fight for, they will fight for those things.
Roslyn?
I would say my trip to UNESCO. Because, okay, I've been following the works of UNESCO concerning gender and education, because that's really what I'm involved in. So getting to see a lot of statistics concerning girls that are not educated in the society, I even saw, like, for Nigeria, and I was like, wow, this is really, really, really great. And I said, great, no, it's great, definitely.
to get the information was interesting.
Exactly, but then it was somehow like, wow, this, like, I still have a lot of work to do concerning gender education. And I noticed that it's really necessary for us to get more girls in school, because if girls don't know their rights, if they're not educated, they won't know their rights in the society. And I feel like, wow, a lot of potentials are out there, they're just there in the streets, in the rural areas. They're not really being harnessed, so to say. But I feel when they're educated, although I'm not really a science person, but I, at least I saw the value, like, this is a digital world. More girls need to be like, we need more female inventors and all that.
Yomna?
I just want to add something, yeah, because we always talk about problems in our lives, in our countries, but here we are finding solutions, and that's the major thing I'm learning here, is to share my experience with other peoples from other countries, from different backgrounds, different mentalities, and this diversity actually is bringing out solutions, it's bringing out ideas, and the combination is really huge, and it's life-changing, actually. We think that we are doing things in our countries, we have done changes, but here is the real change, actually, meeting people and seeing how they live, how they think, and how they act in their own countries. It's the real gain, actually.
And generally, like my colleague from Egypt said, I'm blown away being here. Thanks to Anstu from say, this is an amazing opportunity, because you're out there, you know, you're doing stuff, you think, oh my god, what I'm doing is like, it's so great, like, you know, I'm amazing. And then you come to places like this and you meet people and you're like, oh my god, like, I'm nothing. Like, I've been wasting my time for the past X number of years. You know what? We could actually do more, right? We went to Le Cedir, and I was like, okay, right. Even with Learned Space for the Innovation, they were talking about things like Idea Box. And I'm like, because I'm all for technology and innovation. And I'm like, okay, so I can't really say much because I haven't done anything. So we're just going to go back to the drawing board and just take what we have from here and, you know, just add it. And I'm just fascinated because you get to grow, you get from different places, find a way to modify it to work for where we're from and do better. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Our student Francie has been just amazing.
I think we've given them a really good publicity brochure there. It's great to hear you talking with such enthusiasm about this week, and I've no doubt you're going to go out and be ambassadors for Lab Citoyen, which is now in its sixth edition. Roslyn Adaobi, Augusta and Yomna, thank you.
Thank you.